Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:25 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 4th. Well, today we've had some pretty disappointing results from Kraft and Disney, and they're weighing on the Dow, where we have the Dow Jones down 1.6%. The S&P, though, is only down 6 points or 0.77%. So a disproportionate weighting for the rather large moves that they've had in the Dow has helped to pull that back down below the 8,000 level. And we continue to see that these markets are ranging within sight of their October lows and above their November lows. Right across Europe, we see that the majority of markets are ranging above the lows for this 3 to 4 month range. And a number continue to have this short-term progression of higher lows over the last few months and would really need to take those out to give credence to the remarkably bearish forecasts that we continue to see being put out by pundits. There is a massive difference now between the extent to which sentiment is discounting how bad things can get and the fact that markets have been ranging for 4 months. Of course, because it's a range, we have competing views as to whether the market will eventually break upwards or downwards. And because we're closer to the lower side of the range, the weight is currently being given to those arguments that suggest that markets can break to the downside. If this were the other way around, if markets were up there towards the highs, we'd have more pundits talking about the potential for markets to break on the upside. Of course, we've had a massive drawdown for a huge number of markets over the last 6 months, and there continue to be large numbers of people expecting an even bigger decline from here downwards. Now, we certainly can't rule it out because the economic news out there is pretty awful, and sentiment is what continues to be remarkably anxious. But with the ranging that is taking place, there is enough of evidence to make the base building hypothesis credible, and we would need markets to break and sustain breaks to new lows to offset potential for these markets, for these indices, particularly country indices, to continue to just range sideways with a gradual upward bias. And there's no evidence to offset that particular hypothesis just yet. Precious metals continue to outperform in here. Gold was up over $5 on spot, consolidating above this, or consolidating around this $900 level, and certainly the move above the moving average. The moving average hasn't quite turned up yet, but this was a significant move for gold in that the moving average had provided areas of resistance on three different occasions since the March peak, and now it has sustained a move above that. And of course, gold in a number of other currencies is already making new highs. Where we see ourselves now is that we've broken to a new high in this sort of 2 month uptrend, and the moves we've seen to date have not been sustained on the upside, whereas the progression of higher lows has also been maintained. So there is an area and an aura of nervousness also about the gold price because people have seen what it has done in the past. But the chances are that people are also looking at gold and saying that they're going to buy it on weakness, which means that the likelihood of very big drawdowns are becoming increasingly unlikely. And we continue to see that it is very steady up around these levels, which is certainly helping to lend confidence to a number of investors. Silver is also remarkably consistent and out of character, really, for something that is usually remarkably volatile. But up 23.5 cents today, it's at 12.53, consolidating above this $12 level very healthily. It has moved from $10 to $12.50 in reasonably short order and has done it very consistently. It would need to take out that progression of short-term lows before that consistency would be broken, and we can say that the risks are to the upside in the silver market, and particularly since it has fallen so remarkably since from the highs that we saw in the middle of last year. Platinum continues to consolidate below the $1,000 level and needs to sustain a move above that to indicate really that it is going to follow gold and silver to the upside. We also see that treasuries are down around 122. They're down 11 ticks today. We're also starting to see that the lead that was put in by treasuries, and treasuries led on the upside and they now appear to be leading on the downside. When treasuries rallied from their lows last year, there were lots of other bond markets rallied as well, but they, for example, gilts gave up their retire advance and went back and tested the lows. Treasuries held onto their gain and were first to break on the upside. They had one of the biggest advances. Now they've peaked earlier than everything else. Gilts followed very quickly afterwards. JGBs appear to now be following, as are the Australian 10 years, which had been showing relative strength until the last couple of days. So we're starting to see that these other bond markets are falling into place behind treasuries, which has led on the upside and now appears to be leading on the downside. And that is important for markets in the fact that yields are rising in here, that investors are getting more of a return on their investment, and it is becoming less easy for governments to borrow money at such remarkably low rates. That peak that we've seen recently in the government bond prices is almost certainly a medium-term peak, if not a long-term peak, and potentially an all-time peak for, I suppose, as an indication of just how nervous and how fear has driven this market over the last 6 months, particularly. And of course, given the fact that government bonds have been in an uptrend for the better part of the last 20 years, most big trends like that will give us an acceleration, at least many of them will, and we've certainly had an acceleration in government bond prices. So, also looking at the TIPS prices, where they have rallied significantly off their lows, is also an indication that investors are starting to look to the future. They're starting to look at the potential for inflation to be a problem further down the line, and some of those TIPS bonds are expiring, or mature, I should say, in 2012. That's not that far away to be pricing in or buying protection against inflation. And that, of course, is also an indication that people will be requiring higher yields, and of course yields are at remain at remarkably low levels despite the fact that they have risen somewhat off their lows. There is plenty of room for these yields to rally further, and there remain big questions about, do we really want to give governments our money when they are so very eager to borrow it from us? Looking at the dollar, we see that it is quite strong in here and remains in a relatively consistent uptrend. It is coming back up towards the highs around 88 on the dollar index and needs to fail around there to indicate to us that the dollar has further to go on the downside. At the moment, the technical action for the dollar is relatively strong. And while we can certainly make a strong fundamental argument for why the dollar should be a weak currency, the technical action has been very firm. And following that completed Type 2 top that we saw in December. The market fell aggressively, found support, and has been rallied sharply, consolidated, and has been consistent on the way up. It needs to break that progression of higher lows, which is the main hallmark of the consistency pattern that has been evident over the last month or so, to really tell us that the dollar is going to top out in this region. I think that there is a better than 50% chance that we're going to see the dollar topping out in the next week or 2 weeks as it approaches that area of prior resistance back in December. But we will let the charts tell us. We can't really tell the market what to do because it's not listening. We need to watch what the charts are telling us and a clear downward dynamic which breaks the progression of the short-term progression of higher lows will be a clear indication that the dollar has run into trouble up around these levels. We also see that industrial metals are reasonably firm in here. You have nickel up towards the, it was at 12,000 earlier on today, closed off that level. Copper was relatively unchanged, having had a good day in here yesterday. Zinc was also relatively quiet. And when we look at these industrial metal charts, if you take out aluminium and look at the rest of the industrial metals, they have all had a big pullback. They are all finding support. They are all back towards the areas where you would imagine that they would begin to find support, and they have been finding support. There's a good chance that the industrial metal complex will lead the economy out of this recession. So they are well worth keeping an eye on, both from a trading perspective and from the point of view that if they lead on the upside, then the economy won't be long turning after them. So they will. We haven't talked a lot about industrial metals for a while, for the simple reason they haven't been doing much, but they will certainly feature more, I think, in commentary, for the simple reason that they are now beginning to become interesting once more. Another interesting market is lumber, because I think it was Monday that I put it in the interesting chart section because it was rallying from a remarkably oversold condition, and it was limit up today, up a full $10. So there is certainly a short squeeze going on in there. Of course, lumber was being used as a proxy for shorting the housing market because if there's less houses being built, people want less lumber, that type of rationale. If those shorts are being pressured in here, then this market has in the past rallied strongly from oversold conditions and it could potentially have further to go. And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.